Hey, it's Cassie.
Hey, it's Shelby, and we're from Chatham.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM.
Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
Listener-supported hands-on radio.
For Greene and Columbia counties. Have a nice day.
Yay!
Did you know that two-thirds of Americans have library cards? So what's stopping you? Drop by your local library today and get a library card. It'll be the smartest card in your wallet. A message from the American Library Association's Campaign for America's Libraries.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Olana Partnership, presenting Frederick Church and Lockwood DeForest at Olana, painting, decorating, and collecting from May 10th to November 1st. Located south of Hudson, Olana is a state historic site. www.olana.org.
Cocktails, tropical drinks, sun, surf. Experience the Tiki Bar every third Sunday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WGXC, listener-supported community radio. The Tiki Bar, always a relaxing island atmosphere.
The views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts do not represent or reflect the views of WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290 or email info@wgxc.org.
Hello, world. This is Bill Lawrence, and you're listening to the World According to Lawrence radio program on WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We want to welcome you to our show. Of course, beautiful July morning. It's July 15th, 2014, and we are recording here in the Hudson studio. We also record in Acre, and we record in Catskill, well, for the present time anyway, so we'll see what happens there. In any case, my name is Bill Lawrence, and I'm a Greene County legislator. I am from the town of Cairo. I have been a teacher and a number of other position holders in the economy of New York State. But now I'm retired from teaching, and over here, thanks to the good graces of WGXC.org, I am over here making sure that I get my viewpoint across the airwaves. And just to give you some disclosure about myself, as a legislator, I'm a Republican Party and one of 14 members of the Greene County Legislature who deal with the policy of Greene County. We also keep track of what's going on in Columbia County, which is where many of our listeners, I assume, are also residing. And we're taking a little bit of a different slant on politics and music. And this particular show, which airs once a month, is for your enjoyment and our enjoyment. And you're free to give us some constructive criticism if you like, by just writing to wblawrence65 at gmail.com. If you have some comments or concerns, let us know. We're glad to react to those. We do this a lot of it in jest. However, our opinions are pretty much those of our own, and we just like to put them across. We're willing to debate them to some degree. In any case, we hope you enjoy the show. Today, we're going to take a politically incorrect track. We're of course all used to the PC mode of today's discussion, a politically correct discussion of everything. And so Deb and I, my colleague here, Deb Kemica, is from Carroll. She's going to just talk to you in a minute, but we're going to take a politically incorrect track and just let you know what the other side of that story is. So before we do that, let me just introduce my friend and colleague, Deborah Kemica.
Good morning, Bill. I do want to say that I am on the Radio Advisory Council, and as such, I would like to invite everyone to participate in community radio. WGXC is a nonprofit organization and exists solely through donations and grants and underwriting. So please support your local radio station. And if you're interested in having a program of your own, there are applications available, and we certainly welcome new programming ideas.
Yeah, and you can blame Deb for me being on the air. So if you want to talk to somebody and blame somebody, that's the person right now.
And I welcome that.
She welcomes that. Yeah, she says that now, of course. But
yeah, you know, and we're always looking, Bill and I, for feedback on the program, if only to assure us that there is somebody out there listening.
Right. We'd like to have somebody listen to our show. So, and we're going to start today our politically incorrect theme. We're going to start with women. And women are, of course, well, I assume they're about 50% of the population of the United States of America, and there may be more.
Slightly more, I think.
Slightly more, Deb says?
I think maybe, yeah, a couple of percentage higher than men. Because, you know, you men die early.
Yeah, right. We die early because we're taking care of our women.
Wrong.
But
maybe. Oh, man.
And they give us so much stress. But I do think that there's this perception that this war on women is really annoys irks me to no end in the national politics about how women are being discriminated against, and their salaries are not the same, that they have a much harder, tougher time getting to the ceiling. They have this artificial ceiling they reach quickly, more quickly than men. And I'm sure many of those things did happen, or maybe they are happening. I just don't see it as a trend in the nation. I think women, for the most part, have really blossomed in terms of their leadership and also in terms of their ability to run corporations. Their scientific research is driven by the extreme confidence and knowledge of women these days. The women scientists, used to be there were very few of them because science was a man's field, supposedly. But the women have really gone to really great extremes in bringing that to an end. So in terms of women, you know, discrimination against women, I just don't see it. Salaries, for the most part, minimum wage is minimum wage, no matter where you work. If you're a CEO of a corporation, and whether you're, somebody like Hillary Clinton, or who's the woman, Elizabeth, she's from New Massachusetts there. I forgot her last name. Anyway, she was a, and there was one in California. These women running very, very high profile corporations are being paid millions of dollars, as much as any male counterpart would have been paid for that same job. So I think it's sort of a made up war, one that is being used for political purposes. It has nothing to do with reality. And I just don't see, unless I'm wrong, Deb, am I wrong? Do women have the same advantages as men in today's world?
I think not always. I think it's changing. I think what we do need to be careful about are the words that we use. War on women, I don't know about that. Women are still fighting, I think, in some jobs, in some fields, to earn comparable pay. I mean, I myself have been in a situation some years back where a male director came in to take over a nonprofit organization, and he was replacing a woman, and the board said, well, we need to give him more money, a lot more money, and somebody asked why, and they said, well, he's a man.
Well, I was looking back at I've been around a little bit longer than you, and, it takes certain careers. Nursing was typically all women at one time. And now, of course, you have male nurses as well as female nurses. The Army, the military, was strictly, for the most part, male-dominated service. And now you have women becoming a larger percentage of that particular population. So those jobs that were once described as women-only or men-only is certainly changing, I think, kind of dramatically.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that is true. I think there's more doors open. I think we just need to be conscious. War on women, I don't know. I don't like the language.
I don't see it as being sensible at all. But in terms of, even sports, women's sports, football teams, basketball teams, wrestling, whatever you want to talk about, women are now becoming part of that culture and probably for the most part are just as good a star or athletic ability as the men who were once dominated those sports as well.
But probably do not get paid quite what the male basketball players and male baseball players get paid.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of women's basketball, you might be right about that. The male portion of that, those teams, of course, probably make a lot more money. The women's portion is not as greatly televised as the male portion is. And in terms of tennis, for example, tennis, the women are really up there in terms of salary. Football, I don't know of any women's football teams, but I do know that women that are now part of men's football teams in local colleges and some high schools.
You know. Yeah, I've heard that as well. I would be terrified to be playing football with anybody, you know, much less somebody who weighed 200 pounds more than me, but you know, more power to you. You got the strength and the determination to do it. And
And women truck drivers. I'm trying to think of all the particular careers where men seem to have been dominant.
Yeah, well, I think there's more women physicians now, growing up. I think you're right. Most of the nurses that I encountered were female. Most of the doctors were male. And I don't think that's the case anymore.
Not at all. And in terms of the changes here, because I'm glad to see those changes, believe it, women were sort of, suppressed when in the early 1900s. I mean, they didn't, until World War II, I guess, is when we saw this huge change of, philosophical belief in what women could do in terms of factory work and other ancillary positions. So
yeah, well, maybe so. But, even as late as the 60s and early 70s, guidance counselors and teachers that would push the girls towards being teachers and
right.
social workers and the boys were pushed towards different careers. I suspect that's no longer the case. But
I see it in younger kids today. The female younger kids are taking a more active role in what they want to do and what they want to be. They're not being suppressed like they used to be. And I think they're becoming much more independent, which I always encourage for anybody to be independent of your peers. But in terms of job opportunities, we hope their job opportunities are out there for them when they need it. But women, we're going to play a few songs that I think were politically incorrect these days anyway. Our first one is from Frank Sinatra. Just take a listen to this.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She likes the theater and never comes late. She never bothers with people she'd hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. Doesn't like crap games with barons or earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp. She likes the free fresh wind in her hair, life without care. She's broke and it's oak, hates California. It's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. She gets too hungry to wait for dinner at 8. She loves the theater, but never comes late. She'd never bother with people she'd hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. She'll have no crap games with Sharpies and froth, and she won't go to Harlem in Lincoln's or Ford's, and she won't dish the dirt with the rest of the broads. That's why the lady is a tramp. She loves the free, fresh wind in her hair, life without care. She's broke, but it's oak. Hates California, it's so cold and so damp. That's why the lady, that's why the lady, that's why the lady is a tramp.
Thank you. and her voice is peculiar, and her eyes are strange. She's prone to be willful, trying to cheer up some, but she's impervious to change. She dresses in black all of the time, wears an orthopedic shoe, and some sort of an uglification thing she's into. She's 110, maybe 5'5". She don't eat meat, but she eat you alive. She's only a girl, but she's big time. She's only a girl, I'll tell you about her, at least all that I know. South Carolina, she came out here a few years ago. She waits on tables and she works in a bank, volunteers at the zoo. She sure ain't lazy, but she's very young, that's why I called you. She's only a girl. You'd say that? No? Go ahead. Of course I know. No, you're wrong now. Now listen. Love is blind and deaf as well. The love is good. Can't you tell? She's only a girl and she loves me.
Everybody, we're back. That was our War on Women showcase of songs. The first one, of course, was the legendary Frank Sinatra, The Lady is a Tramp, which was a very popular song at this time. The second one was Man Eater by Daryl Hall and John Oates. And our last one there was She's Only a Girl by Randy Newman. Deb and I were talking during the little session, doing the little melody of songs there, about the fact that there's still a double standard for women. Don't get me wrong about the fact that women are completely equal in all respects. As you can hear from these songs, women are certainly castigated for sometimes for their behavior, even though that may be independent behavior. And I think we've got to deal with that and control our desire to segregate women into certain classifications and men in another. So, all right? Yep. All right, anyway, our second topic is religion. Religion's a very, very hot topic. You know, if you go to somebody's house, you don't talk about sex, religion, or what's the other one?
money?
Money. Maybe it's finances. I don't know.
I think money.
All right. But in any case, religion, of course, is a very hot topic in today's world. You've got those who are very, very pro-religious, pro-religion, fighting with those that see religion as a secondary part of our society. And this is it's deeply embedded in politics from the founding fathers right up to the present day. Religion and religious talk is sort of frowned upon by some and encouraged by others. It makes people very nervous when it comes to that sort of situation. Yet football players who was very religious used to pray before he'd go out on the field, somewhat intimidated by his teammates, and that led to him being transferred. I guess now he's not even on a team. He's still looking to become a professional football player. Religion has been banned from schools. You can't pray in schools like you used to, although you can still do it at town meetings and county meetings and federal meetings. You can still pray because I think the Supreme Court has said that the towns and the municipalities can still pray before a meeting. I forgot the exact reasoning behind that, but it's not outlawed. Doesn't mean that you have to pray along with them. You just have to give them the time to do it on their own. If you are a religious particular group, whether you're an Islam or Catholic, a Mormon or a Lutheran, you're either you're not liked by one group and maybe loved by another. Your religious beliefs sometimes play into the way you handle your politics. Sometimes it goes to the way you handle yourself personally. And many people are religious. They believe in God. They believe in church. They don't necessarily listen to and follow all the commandments. They don't listen to and follow all the particular edicts of your religious philosophy, but they still consider themselves religious. They don't necessarily go to church every Sunday. They may not pray before every meal. So you got this variety of takes on religious freedom. But come to things like Hobby Lobby, who had a particularly strong religious view about the way birth control was handled by the federal government's new Obamacare, or ACA, the Affordable Care Act. And you've got a corporation now that was being dictated to by the government that they had to do certain payments for birth control measures that they did not believe in for their employees, for their the way the company was organized. So this led to a Supreme Court decision that they have the right to deny certain birth control measures. That does not deny women the use of other ones. They just, the company will not pay for them. And then you have people like Nancy Pelosi, who really is a real strange person in my mind. She was out there saying that they're trying to control women's sexual, their sexual life. And that is not the case at all. It was simply a religious viewpoint, which the Constitution supports and defends. So, I mean, religion is a tough topic, and I'd hate to see it become so interwoven with the today's modern politics and modern discussion of our lifestyles, because I always thought of it as a individual choice and one that you kept to yourself privately, but not anymore. And things in today's world are very, very often not very private, and there are no secrets to be had by people sometimes. I don't know, Deb, what do you think about religious PC?
Well, religious freedom is part of what this country was founded on. And I'm not so sure religion belongs in politics, but I do think that there can be some mutually respectful dialogue about people's positions without it turning into a free-for-all.
Yeah, I have to believe that, again, I'm going back to my own personal belief that my religion is my own personal business, and what I do with my between me and my God is my business, nobody else's. I don't want nobody dictating to me how I should, behave on certain days of the week or behave during certain types of situations. I think that's going to be an individual matter. But religion is worldwide, and there's many, many forms, including those that, like voodoo is a religion of sorts. Then you've got the federal government, the IRS, calls them the standard religions, the accepted ones. And then there are those that are not accepted, which I think is a troubling sign, no?
I don't know. Some of them seem to be there's a big stretch of the imagination to classify some groups as a religious organization, but everything comes down to how something is defined. So how are we defining religion?
And that's where the government should stay away from it. They give tax exemptions to religious organizations, and maybe that's a mistake, because they're defining religion for us, and instead of people believing in what they believe, the federal government now has a hand in it, whether it's a decision like tax exemption or whether it's a decision like what birth controls you should pay for as a company. I think that's a matter of the individual taking care of that.
Well, there's a lot of problems with the new healthcare system, and that's one of the things that the government needs to take a look at again and maybe make some changes. But it's far from the only problem.
All right, so we have a couple of songs here that are sort of politically incorrect when it comes to religion, and our first one is this one.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft,
And I've got no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. That crazy witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you.
The council waits for you. The Pharisees and priests are here for you.
Gentlemen, you know why we are here. We've not much time and quite a problem here.
Hosanna, superstar! Hosanna, superstar! Hosanna!
Listen to that howling mob of blockheads in the street. A trick or two with lepers, and the whole town's on its feet.
He is dangerous. Jesus Christ, superstar. He is dangerous.
Tell us that you're who they say
is in town right now to whip up some support.
A rabble-rousing mission that I think we must abort.
He is dangerous. He is dangerous.
Look, Caiaphas, they're right outside our yard. Quick, Caiaphas, go call the Roman guard.
No, wait.
We need a more permanent solution to our problem.
What then to do about Jesus of Nazareth, miracle wonder man, hero of fools?
No riots, no army, no fighting, no slogans.
One thing I'll say for him, Jesus is cool.
We dare not leave him to his own devices. His half-witted fans will get out of control.
How can we stop him?
His glamour increases
by leaps every minute.
He's top of the poll.
I see bad things arising. The crowd crowned him king, which the Romans would ban.
I see blood and destruction are elimination because of one man. Blood and destruction because of one man.
Because of one man.
Our elimination because of one man.
Because of one cause, of one cause, of one man.
What then to do about this Jesus mania? No, how do we deal with the carpenter? Where do we start with a man who is bigger
than John was when John did his baptism thing?
Fools, you have no perception. The stakes we are gambling are frighteningly high. We must crush him completely. So like done before him, this Jesus must die. For the sake of the nation, this Jesus must die.
Must die, this Jesus must die.
So like done before him, this Jesus must die.
Must die, this Jesus must die.
Okay, that was a couple of songs which we thought were politically incorrect for the time, based on their religious viewpoints. Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra, the first one. Witchcraft or Wiccans are a religious group of sorts, and I'm sure they're pretty much discriminated against. The second one was This Jesus Must Die, which comes from the album Jesus Christ Superstar, which I always thought was sort of politically incorrect for those people that believed in Jesus. I don't think he came off as a superstar, although many may think he did. And the fact that somebody like that who gets a crowd of people going, sometimes the people in charge don't like that kind of stress. And so maybe that happens in the world a lot more often than we anticipate. So we're going to our next topic. Our next topic of politically incorrect comments deals with foreigners. Damn foreigners! They gotta speak so loud to them for them to for them to understand you, right? When you go to a foreign country, if you speak louder, they seem to understand what you're saying. Many countries don't like. I think there was a book written called "The Ugly American," where we would go and sort of assume that we were the best thing since sliced bread. And that led to things like the French being snooty and some countries not being very polite to Americans. But I think foreigners now coming to America are sort of experiencing the same thing. Today's society is very much, I think, against a lot of people coming into the country, illegally anyway. Legal immigration and maybe still going strong, but the situation with foreigners, especially along the Mexican border, is reaching a very, very stressful point these days. If you've been watching or listening to the news with people from Central America, El Salvador, Mexico itself, coming across Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, and California, coming to this country, and worse yet, just sending their children across and making sure that they get into the country and then hopefully they'll be taken care of and kept here. So there's this big debate going on as to what to do with these foreigners coming into America. Now, besides the fact that you have other countries, Chinese, Russian, the Middle East, Islamic groups that are coming in and making settlements, taking and keeping their culture alive, which I think to some people is offensive, and they don't like it. And but if you talk about it, you're considered a racist of sorts and a bigot, and I think it leads to a less discussion than we should have about what should be done about the concerns that this kind of immigration, illegal or otherwise, puts on the American people who are already here. And I know a lot of people think we should take care of all those that enter our borders, but I think there's got to be a control point where those that enter can be taken care of, can find a job, can get a house, can get the medical care they need, and too much stress on any system, as a chemistry teacher, leads to a new equilibrium, which may not be to the best benefit of them or us. I don't know, foreigners, do you have much interaction with foreigners?
I think we're all kind of foreigners from some generation back. I think my family was here prior to the Revolutionary War, but it's a tough call. We do want to welcome people and provide refuge to people that can't survive and are abused and attacked and brutalized where they live. And how do you balance that? How do you balance providing for everyone that wants to come into the country and still taking care of everyone that's here. Well, there's a lot of people here, a lot more people coming in. It's certainly something that needs a lot of discussion, and you know, talking. I don't know what the answer is to this. I'm really stymied. I feel for these children that are coming in from Central America and Mexico, and do we really want to send them back? You know, we know what they're looking at if they go back, you know, there doesn't seem to be a plan in place for what do we do with them here. We don't want to warehouse these children, you know. If we're going to welcome people here, then, you know, we have to have a plan in place. So how do we take care of everyone who enters the country? And I'm not wise enough to answer that.
Yeah, I think the situation with children is very, very difficult. And, of course, if we send them back, which many people are saying, let's just deport them, put them on a plane and send them back, you're going to find that they're going to be back to the same miserable conditions, which is why they left in the first place. As a parent, I'd want to do whatever I could to protect my children. And I think they're thinking the same way, because most of the world is not like America. I mean, we are very, very fortunate and blessed. And then what we have is so special that I can understand why people want to come here. They want to get away from the oppression. They want to get away from the poverty. They want to get away from the chaos. I mean, in America, as bad as it gets sometimes, there's an order to it that you can depend on. And I think if anything else, the stability of our way of life is probably the most, makes people jealous everywhere else in the world. And I think we don't appreciate it. We take it for granted, but that's stability. Nobody's dropping bombs. Nobody's changing governments. Nobody's making it so that you what you depended on one day is not possible the next day, because we have a particular mindset as to the way life should be. And individually, we live up to that. And as a country, we make it very, very imperviable to a very, very quick change. But
we also have poverty. There's a lot of children in this country, born in this country, you know, raised in poverty. And, you know, I don't know how we address providing for everyone and what the solution is, but I don't think that the answer is to send these children back someplace where we know that they're going to be hurt.
Well, I think poverty in America, I mean, you don't have to go without food. You don't have to go without medical attention. There's a system built to protect you from that, either by choice or the fact that you're not intelligent enough to maybe find those particular places to get help. But if you're in a foreign country, there's maybe no other support system in place that you can depend on, where in America we have it. I mean, there are groups, there's federal and municipal organizations which will take care of your needs in dire cases. And hey, listen, I was poor when I was growing up. I didn't have much. I mean, I didn't consider myself impoverished. I thought I had led a pretty good life. But compared to others in the country, I was very, very poor. Now, that situation in foreign countries is to the point where you're so poor you can't eat day to day. That's a completely different story. And we have a system in America, the USA, which can protect you from that. I mean, don't you agree with that or no?
Well, I do to some extent, and I think it's true that some people are maybe not aware what services are out there, and so I would encourage people to, you know, talk to people. You certainly can go to your local library and ask them for, you know, a listing of local social services or organization or public organizations that need help, or you know, if you have a doctor or a pastor or a minister or a priest or somebody who can guide you to finding those resources, you know, I think you're right. But I don't think everybody gets them. And I don't think that everyone has availability in the same amount, depending on where they're living in the country and what part of the country they're in.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, it's not consistent from state to state, but we do believe in the fact that immigration takes place. We are, actually, I think Deb said, we are all immigrants from one time or another, and the America that we know of was based on that melting pot of cultures. hopefully we can continue that. But for those of you that want to know what songs we think goes with this, here's our first one. Okay, that was Bruce Springsteen, the great Bruce Springsteen, and Born in the USA, which is the dream of every foreigner, right? I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's, you know, we live in a great country, admittedly, but we have our problems, and certainly there's some things happening here that I don't think anybody wants to emulate.
Right. I mean, we just don't want to export some of the problems that we have. We don't want to import some of the problems other countries have. So let's try to come to a amicable agreement somewhere along the line. Well, this leads us to our next topic, which is politicians. Certainly not an endangered species because they grow exponentially with the situation that create us issues in this country. And if you want to know where the greatest concentration of millionaires is, take a look at Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives, the United States Senate, and, of course, the President and Supreme Court. Many, many millionaires because they are lifers, career politicians that are more worried about re-election than they are about public service. And I think this has led to a real, what's it when you have traffic jam, what's it called?
Traffic jam?
Yeah, traffic jam. There's another word I was thinking of there, but you cannot make any gridlock.
Gridlock
is the term.
There you
yeah,
go.
It's
yeah,
a gridlock in what this country should be doing, what it should be trying to accomplish. And you've got these two houses against each other, and nothing's being done. And everybody's just waiting for the other group to leave, I suppose. But,
well, maybe they should institute a program where some of these, or all of these people have to actually live in some of the districts that they're representing, but, you know, rent an apartment, you know, for a couple of weeks and actually immerse themselves in the community to see what the real issues are in the communities that they are supposedly representing, because many of them, I think, don't have a clue.
Now, as a matter of fact, they are so far away from the normal everyday life of you and I. Believe me, I'm a politician, but I'm immersed in my town, and I'm active, and I try to make sure I understand what's going on. But these people in the federal government just do not have a clue as to what's really going on in the country. They're seeing it from a rose-colored glass situation and not doing much to correct the problems that we all face.
I think part of the problem, too, is that the politicians get so enmeshed in their particular political party and that particular viewpoint, and it all becomes about being a Republican or being a Democrat and attacking the other party, and rather than maybe coming up with some mutually satisfactory agreements in terms of how to progress, how to move the country forward, and not, you know, keep us at the stalemate where, you know, the best they can do is sling mud at each other.
Yeah, I mean, the gridlock has been created because one side does not want to compromise with the other. And it used to be those were the, if you go back to the early origins of this country, that was the, they had their arguments, don't get me wrong, but they were able to compromise as to what would be a good solution for the benefit of the most people in the United States of America. I just don't see that anymore, and I think we all suffer as a result of it, and things are just sort of stagnant in this country. We're not really moving forward. We're not making any really great headway in improving the quality of life for anybody, including those that were born in the USA, and much less for those that are trying to get here through other means. But
well, we do have celebrities that are living pretty high on the hog, though, you know, or so-called celebrities. Certainly, you know, some people, having their own reality TV shows and making lots of money, and maybe, they're living a little bit of a different lifestyle than your average person.
Yeah, I mean, reality TV has ruined TV for me because I look at those shows, I just don't see any reality there whatsoever. Whether it's a Pawn Stars or the Duck Dynasty or any of those others, it's all, well, there's in science we have this Heisenberg principle. As you try to examine a particle, it changes. So as you try to examine a group of people with TV cameras, they change. They're not the normal
there
everyday
you go.
World of
yeah. That's true. As soon as somebody puts a microphone in front of someone or points a camera at someone, you know that they're influencing that behavior. So it may be real to some extent, but also influenced by the fact that they're actually on television. In any case, these people do tend to make a lot of money, I think, and that's not the case for most jobs. So if you can be a celebrity, I guess you're in a whole other...
Yeah.
You know, arena in terms of what you can afford to do and not do.
Yeah, celebrities are a special classification in this politically incorrect topic of ours. We should give them separate time, because those that become celebrities think they are smarter. They think they know better than anybody else. They think they can make changes quicker than anybody else. And that they are the source of all goodness that comes into the world. We were just discussing a few of them, Justin Bieber and Lindsay Lohan and Shia LaBeouf, who sort of going off the deep end and thinking they were different than other human beings on this planet.
Well, it would be nice to, you know, have some actual heroes that, you know, or for our children that are not connected to the movie industry or television industry, but actually are making incredible strides in other areas, science, math, teaching, you know, whatever it may be. There's some incredible individuals out there that don't make a lot of money and doing great work and with no acknowledgement, and nobody's putting a camera on them. And we're sort of giving a warped view, not only to our own people, to ourselves in this country, but in other countries. They're learning about America through television shows.
While
they call them reality, I suspect most of them are not.
And I saw this when I taught school, is that those who were strong academic kids, you know, whether it was science or math or English or anything else, always took second place to sports programs. And those that considered the real heroes of high school, and of course heroes in today's society, whereas the scientists and the people that the doctors and even some good lawyers are sort of second class citizens when it comes to that hero worship.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that an actor would make, I don't know, I think some of them make like $10 million. How much does a brain surgeon make? I think the average is like $186,000 or something. I saw that someplace a year or so back.
Yeah.
Who do you want operating on your brain?
Right, you don't want an actor doing that, no matter how much he's paid. All right, here's for all the politicians in the world.
I've paid my dues. Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shouts and kicks in my bed, but I've come through.
And I need to go on.
And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge.